All right. Nigel Fields is the Chief of Interpretation and Education at Jean Lafitte National Historical Park and Preserve and New Orleans Jazz National Historical Park. He leads a staff of park rangers and educators who deliver K-12 education, promote public health, and provide conservation related to job skills to high school youth. Nigel received a BS in Ecology and Master's of Science in Public Health from Tulane University. And he previously focused on children's health research for 15 years at the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. Thank you, Nigel. Turn it over to you.
Thank you, Leila. Thank you, Leila, for organizing this fantastic panel. And thank you all for coming and making time to join this discussion. We'll be having an open discussion about what we're doing here. This is all relatively new work, so I invite your thoughts, your own experiences to contribute to what we're learning and to sort of learn and grow with us. So there are three things I'd like to start my timer. Three things I'd like to make sure we're discussing today. The first is why I think it's important that the National Park Service be a part of public health initiatives in the country. I'd also like to discuss what we're attempting to do here in New Orleans, what we're getting started with, and also to share what we've learned thus far. And then I'm going to turn it over to our nature champions to really give you a sense of what's happening in the clinical setting and what they're seeing as they're connecting some of their patients and their families to the clinical setting. So, and once again, just to make sure I'm saying there's nothing I have to disclose, and also this is all new stuff, and we're learning, and we're having a lot of fun in doing so, but we invite your thoughts. I think what we've learned, though, is instructive. For many of you all, you received this brochure. If you, as a park ranger, we love props, so if you have it, you can open it up. If you don't have one, I put some on the back by the coffee table back there. You'll see that that this is a description and a map of Jean Lafitte National Historical Park and Preserve. Just so you know, there are two national parks that are based here in New Orleans. This is one of them, Jean Lafitte. And there's six different sites that we have at Jean Lafitte National Historical Park and Preserve. And I'll just quickly go through them just to give a sense of context so you get a sense of what our young people, our families are able to do and how we may be able to connect some of our activities with health. So the first location that you see here, you'll notice on the map, there's Chalmette Battlefield. Chalmette Battlefield commemorates the Battle of New Orleans that took place in 1815. So we're gearing up for our 200th anniversary, our 200th commemoration of the battle. We have a lot of youth programs that we do here, a lot of living history programs, a large focus on education. There's also a national cemetery that's located here with about 15,000 graves for people that served in wars from the War of 1812 all the way through the Vietnam War. There's also three Acadian cultural centers. This focuses on the lives and the cultures of the people that were from Acadie, which is now present-day Nova Scotia. They were exiled by the British from this part of Canada back in 1755, more or less, and resettled by the French here in South Louisiana. So you have this mix, if you will, this gumbo of people that have been living here with this type of French heritage, mixing and interfacing with Native Americans, people from Africa as indentured slaves and servants. So there's a real unique way of life that happens in this part of Louisiana. And so we have three cultural centers that focuses on the food, the music, the culture, a lot of fun stuff, but a lot of difficult stuff too. And we engage kids in what it is to learn about their culture and their heritage, what it is to connect to the wetlands, which they live upon, or the prairie areas as well. There's also the Barataria Preserve, which is about like a 30-minute drive from here. The Barataria Preserve has 23,000 acres of hardwood forests, swamps, and open freshwater marsh, one of the largest expanses of freshwater marshes in the world. It's a living laboratory for what's happening with climate change. It's a living laboratory for what's happening with subsidence here. You look at that map of Louisiana, the southern part of Louisiana, and that map is changing every single day. And a part of what we do is to interpret that, to make sure people understand that and what it means for the health of our economy as well as for the future of southern Louisiana. It's also a very special place to see charismatic creatures. We have humanoid creatures that like to roam around in there and also reptilian creatures. And it's a great place to sort of observe and to immerse yourself in nature. The second park, and I don't have a brochure with me, but the second park that we have that's based here in New Orleans is New Orleans Jazz National Historical Park. And here we talk about this, the creation of jazz here in New Orleans. What was unique about this city that created this art form? And how has it progressed and how has it changed over the years? If you come and visit with us and you see some of our rangers who perform, this is Matt and Bruce, who are jazz rangers. Bruce is a naturalist. He started off in the Barataria Preserve and does a great job of connecting the culture to the music here. And Matt is a jazz musician and funk and blues and all sorts of other stuff. And it's fantastic to have our rangers go out to schools to have to work with people internationally on understanding and telling this story and how the music has evolved today. So I mentioned two parks that are based here in New Orleans, but there are 401 national parks across the country. So when we think about that, what does that mean if we were to consider a system of parks that can interface with public health? When Layla mentioned the goals that, the action items that come out of APHA, how would it be if we were to begin to look at what some of those goals that we can implement across all 401 sites? How would it be if we were to think about connecting these 401 sites in an even more meaningful way to our educational system? What's it like for us to consider these 401 sites serving as research locations to understand better the connection between humans and nature for health benefits, and do that across time and across space? So just a reminder that national parks are more than just Yellowstone and Yosemite. That's what people tend to think of when they think about parks. They're cultural centers, they're historic sites, they're all sorts of things. And I'm just curious in the room, how many people have, that you know of, a national park within, say, 1 hour of where you live, approximately? Well, look at that. Wow, that's the majority of the folks, right. And beyond national parks, we also have the National Park Service provides technical assistance for states and local communities to design parks. We have a great example here called the Lafitte Greenway, and there's others across the counties here. Most counties now in the country have had National Park Service technical assistance on developing green spaces and parks. So pretty much no matter where you are in the country, you've been impacted or you have access, hopefully, to park spaces that the Park Service has helped to bring about. So quickly, the Park Service got started in 1916. Things have changed over the past 100 years, and I'd love to have a more fuller discussion with anyone who's interested in how it's evolved from what it started off with, 1916 to today. But certainly something like jazz as a park is a different kind of concept, and more of those things are happening. So as our cities are encroaching upon what used to be far out park spaces, as more parks are in urban areas like New Orleans, like Boston, like Philadelphia, Santa Monica, we're having to think about how do we deal with urban issues? How do we make sure we're relevant to the things that are happening within our urban areas and become a part of some of the solutions that that cities are facing? And that's how the Healthy Parks, Healthy People program that the National Park Service is really getting off the ground really comes into play. We recognize that there's a lot of things that are happening with our public health system, and we're looking at, as Layla said, some of the changes that are taking place within our young people in particular. Diseases and chronic illnesses that used to be considered for the middle age and for the older age folks are creeping in much more insidiously into younger and younger ages, and we're seeing that here in New Orleans, and I think some of our health champions will be able to speak to that. And as parks, I feel that it's an onus upon us to see how we can be a part of a solution for that. So there's guiding principles that the National Park Service has put out for all parks to consider, ways to interface with children, families, and public health institutions and fitness organizations. And I'm not going to go through the whole list, but the idea is that we really want to promote physical, spiritual, and social wellness through the parks and make that a priority. So what are we doing here in New Orleans? And I'll just mention a few of the things as briefly as I can, but to also kind of lead into our nature champions here. We got started with an active trails grant by the National Park Foundation back in 2012. They took a bit of a risk with us because active trails grants are usually meant for groups to work with, say, Boy Scouts or Eagle Scouts, to work on trails, to clear them or to build more of them, to make a bike path or something like that. And we said, well, what we don't have is interface with our public health groups and our local health organizations. Can we use that grant mechanism to bring them out to help us make, if you will, healthier trails, to create a healthier environment for people to be in the Barataria Preserve in particular? After that, we had the great fortune of partnering with the National Environmental Education Foundation, as Layla mentioned, on this Nature Champion workshop. And I can't say enough about how important and how pivotal this was, and really sort of taking us, like a quantum leap, we were able to really advance what we wanted to do through this training. So as those trainings are happening in other cities, if they're available within your city, I highly recommend clinicians, healthcare practitioners, doctors taking advantage of it, because it really does create sort of a nexus and a synergy that you can now do something with. So as an example of that synergy, we were able to apply for a Ticket to Ride grant through the National Park Foundation with some of our nature champions to really try out the park prescription model using the transportation that this grant provides. So we have clinics, but we often don't have a way to get the kids from the clinical setting out to the parks, and that's what this grant provided us. And then finally, beginning in 2012, as a part of the Active Trails grant, we started something called Better Health Bayou. Better Health Bayou is a day in the Barry Terry Preserve where there's health screenings, a lot of fun activities, and I'll touch on that in just a second here. So with the Active Trails, what do? We first wanted to just let healthcare providers and fitness instructors and so forth know that we existed, that we're here, that we're a park that's located just in many cases less than 5 miles from where their facilities are located, and to ask them questions like, well, do you sometimes recommend your patients to come for a hike or a walk if somebody is in recovery from cancer or if they're in recovery from some other kind of illness? They're working on managing their high blood pressure or obesity or anything associated with metabolic syndrome. To what degree do you recommend they get out to our parks and interface with them? So that was a part of what we wanted to just learn from them. We also established a task force and brought them out to the park. There was about 10 of them. And the idea was to walk on the trails with them and have them give us suggestions on what would make the trail more accessible for people that may be facing chronic illnesses, be them children or be them older people. So anyone, if they wanted to recommend them coming out to the park, what would they need to see to make it something they'd want to recommend to their patients? And it was also important that we train and give information to our internal staff so they're aware that there are a lot of opportunities to create fun activities, healthy activities that are much more engaging, moving around, dancing, all sorts of things within our regular program. So we have a lot of summer camps. We do a lot of things with kids throughout the year. How do we weave in more health-focused, health-related, spiritual-focused activities that promotes wellness with our current activities? I will say that this task force gave us some great suggestions. Some of the things that we've been able to do thus far is to install bike racks. We didn't have any bike racks in the Barry Terry Preserve. And people want to be able to bike and be able to have a place to park the bike. And when we thought about it, it's like, well, where would you park your bike? You just kind of leave it on the side. And so we were able to do that, and it's fantastic to see people actually using them. If you are a clinician or you're a person that is a physical therapist and you want to say, hey, you need to take a mile and a half walk twice a week, we didn't have a way for you to judge your distances on the trails. We knew as park rangers the distance, but it wasn't very clear for the public. So we were able to make better signage, change our maps, and also put in some park benches to make it to where people can take more breaks. So once again, the Better Health Bayou is a great way to come out for people to in the community to have a great time. We do jazz yoga, that is chair yoga as well as standing yoga. We have nature walks, there's line dancing, and there's great health consultations and nutritional consultations, and it's a lot of fun, but it's also very informative, and it's a great way in the fall to get people out into the park. We just had our third Better Health Bayou this past weekend. I wish I could have invited you all to be there. It was this past Saturday. Going to the Ticket to Ride, simply put, the doctors really lead this. We could not do this without them. They make the recommendations to their clients, to their patients, and their families to come out to the park. We already exist. We have a park. We have staff. We have things like Better Health Bayou that already take place. So how do we connect them to what we're doing? The doctors take the time to call or to talk their patients in the clinic, and then we provide bus transportation through the grant mechanism to now get them from the LaSalle Clinic to the parks. What was unique about this particular funding is that typically this is used for schools because kids are a captive audience. You don't have to worry about the parents and all that kind of stuff. So typically the Parks Foundation gives money to the parks to have schools do day trips, multiple trips if they can. So we asked them, can we use this grant to do this with a clinic? So they took a chance on us, and I think we have a pretty good model that they'd like to advance for other organizations. Each of the parents received a nice folder like so, and on the inside you have brochures, you have other events that will be coming up so they know what other types of activities will be happening in the future, and they're also given the prescription. Now, we got this prescription pad from the National Environmental Education Foundation. Layla's group was very kind to give this to us. We added to it, oh, my time is almost up. All right. We added to it a fuller sort of prescription that a doctor can fill out, checking off some of the other activities, regular activities that happen in our parks, and then special activities that we knew that were coming up. And on the back, although we weren't effective at this, on the back we did have a place where, you know, you get your stamp every time you go to a park service site, every time you go to the National Park Service, you can get a stamp. We wanted to see how many stamps kids could collect and then have prizes that they can get as incentives. So quickly, it was just, we wanted to make sure there was also healthy food each and every single time they went out there. We provided that through the grant. We wanted to make sure there was an attending doctor on the trips for comfort levels, and also just to make sure, and they'll be able to speak to this, all the kids that were included were under managed care. So these are kids that are relatively healthy, that can do some of the activities that we did. And we wanted to make sure they knew what was coming up, have their parents and guardians come by, and then have interesting things to do in the park. And that's really all that's needed for us to be successful with this. I'm not going to go through these in detail, but just to give you a sense of some of the things that we did, the Chalmette Battlefield's monument had been closed since Hurricane Katrina, and in September of last year, we opened it up again. So park prescriptions came out, and we had kids running up and down the 200 stairs in the monument, having a great time. They went out to the Wetlands Acadian Cultural Center and took a boat tour of Bayou Lafourche and went to the E.D. White Plantation. They got to learn about the history and the culture of that space, but it's a beautiful grounds on old sugar plantation land, and we had them doing a lot of period games. They were running around and having a great time making traditional foods and also learning about invasive species and what's it like for us to manage some of the wetlands and learning about the importance of ecology and culture. They also spent time at the Barrier Preserve. They've gone up to the preserve three times now, and this particular trip they were able to go canoeing in the morning because the weather was immaculate, and most of them had never been canoeing before, so they were able to engage in the canoeing, taking some hikes, learning about nature, and also having some good music. So some of the accomplishments is that we were targeting about 20 to 25 people per event, and we were able to achieve that. By the time we got to this third trip here in Barrier Terrier Preserve, 100% of the people that were there had gone to at least one other trip before. We wanted to see if we can build some consistency, that they're looking forward to having the next trip. We also were able to make sure they got healthy foods because they're going to be out for 3, 4, 5 hours, and we know some of the snacks that parents tend to give their kids, and we wanted to provide them some good alternatives. We feel that we piloted a model that can be scaled up here locally within the region, but also maybe transferable to other cities. And most importantly for us in the Park Service, because I heard Layla mention the word stewardship, we've now reached a whole new audience of people who had not been reached before. And that is really critical for us. We know that our demographics are changing. We know that we have a different set of priorities coming up in the future. We need to be relevant to everybody here in the country to make sure we have stewardship to maintain our national park sites. We've learned that having people take time on the bus and get to know each other was really important because this is not a school, this is a clinic, so all the patients don't know each other, but they began to get to know each other over time, and they began to look forward to getting on the bus with the people that the parents, the kids that they've now interfaced with before. So we found there's a lot of value in that. There's also a lot of value in the doctors having the doctor's orders and saying, hey, I would like for you to do this as a part of your wellness. When we have other partners that we work with, there's a dancing group that we work with, they have a hard time getting parents to do things on the weekends and on after hours. But when the doctor says it, I don't know. They seem to be a little bit more motivated. So there's some value in that. Having educational and recreational activities, parents really love that, so we weave more of that in. Once again, the community building. And also, it wasn't about just getting 25 kids who were ill or in care. It was more so about getting, say, the 7 or 8 kids and their family and friends. Having their peer groups and having their level of comfort around them really helped them want to come out to the next event. So those are some of the major lessons that we learned, and I'm going to turn it over to my colleagues here to tell you how it was from the clinic. But I did want to just acknowledge a lot of the people that helped make this happen. So thank you.
Nigel, thanks so much. That was terrific, and that's just such a wonderful testimony to the fact that this model can really be replicated and adapted to the needs of a certain community. And thanks so much. And I know you're eager to hear from our nature champions. You know, as Nigel mentioned, we did a training of pediatricians, pediatric healthcare providers with the National Park Service. We spent one day with them here in New Orleans, thanks to funding from the Kellogg Foundation, and we trained 10 nature champions, and you will be meeting four of them shortly. First, the Tulane group will go. I'll introduce Dr. Younger, who's an assistant professor of pediatrics at Tulane School of Medicine. She is the head of diabetes and metabolic clinic at Tulane, and she's also the section head for community and global pediatrics. And our doctors Jim Steyer and Matt Calzetta have a joint bio that shows how well they work together. And they are at Tulane, internal medicine and pediatrics residents. Both are West Coast natives and grew up spending lots of time in nature. Moving to New Orleans for residency training was a culture shock in many ways, but in particular, the lack of access to green spaces and parks. Once the opportunity arose to become nature champions and combine two passions, nature and medicine, these two doctors jumped at this opportunity. So they are going to be completing their residency at the end of this year, right? And I know they are nature champions for life, so we're going to be looking forward to hearing from them what they do in their new communities, and hopefully they'll be able to work with some of you. Okay, so here we are. Thank you very much.